Hello and welcome to the PCJ Media Archives. I'm Keith Powell. For the past few weeks, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or North Korea, has been in the news. Observers have been saying it seems as if the reclusive leader, Kim Jong-il, as of the recording of this program, might be naming his youngest son, Kim Jong-un, as his successor. Kim Jong-il, who is 69, has been reported to be in ill health. In 1994, Kim Jong-il took over as leader of North Korea after his father, Kim Il-sung, passed away from a heart attack on July 8th, at age 82. When Kim passed away, North Korea fell into deep mourning for the great leader. This was very apparent from the media coming out of the DPRK at the time. Radio Pyongyang, or as it's known now, Voice of Korea, for months after his death, dedicated special programming about the dear leader and his achievements. The program we will listen to now was broadcast originally on August 3rd, 1994. Now, I did have a number of cassette tapes of programs that I recorded just off air after the death of Kim Il-sung, but many of them were unplayable. But this English transmission, from almost 4 weeks after his passing, is more or less the same. It makes interesting listening. So now, here is Radio Pyongyang, recorded August 3rd, 1994, some 3 weeks after the death of Kim Il-sung.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. From now, we begin our English language service transmission from Radio Pyongyang in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Now, here's the news.
First headline.
Comrade Kim Jong-il received the message of solidarity from the leader of Libya on the Victory Day. Comrade Kim Jong-il received the message of condolence from the Governor General of St. Kitts Nevis. People of many countries mourn the death of the great leader Comrade Kim Il-sung.
The Central Committee of the South Korean National Democratic Front denounced the South Korean authorities for having suppressed the people who mourned the death of Comrade Kim Il-sung. Now the news in detail. on the occasion of the 41st anniversary of the victory in the Fatherland Liberation War. That year, leader comrade Kim Jong-il received a message of solidarity dated the 25th from Muammar al-Gaddafi, leader of the great September 1st revolution of the great socialist people's Libyan Arab Jamahiriya. The message extended the sincerest congratulations to comrade Kim Jong-il on the 41st anniversary of the victory in the Fatherland Liberation War, and wished him a long life in good health and happiness, and progress and prosperity to the Korean people. On the death of the great leader comrade Kim Il-sung, the dear leader comrade Kim Jong-il received the message of condolence from Clement Arindell, Governor General of St. Kitts Nevis. The message of condolence reads, His Excellency Kim Jong-un, the dear leader of the Korean people, Pyongyang. Your Excellency, on the death of the great leader, His Excellency Kim Il-sung, I, on behalf of the people of St. Kitts Nevis and my family and on my own, express deep condolences to Your Excellency and the bereaved family of the deceased. The death of the great leader, His Excellency Kim Il-sung, is a great loss to your country and Asian region and the whole world people. Please, Your Excellency, accept the assurances of my highest consideration. Clement Arindell, Governor General of St. Kitts Nevis, Pasir Tere, July the 22nd, 1994. The people of the five continents of the world mourned with greatest reverence the death of the great leader comrade Kim Il-sung, peerless patriot, legendary hero, and outstanding leader of the international communist and working class movement. All people on the globe, irrespective of ideas and systems, political views and religious beliefs, shed tears in deep sorrow over the loss of the great man, the great father, and prayed his immortal achievements performed for the year and mankind to be conveyed to posterity forever. During the period of condolence, mourning functions were held in more than 160 countries. Over 3,480 telegrams of condolences came from 166 countries, and PPRK missions were visited by more than 60 heads of state and government, and over 170 leaders of political parties. More than 3,300 wreaths were laid before the bier and portraits of the great leader comrade Kim Il-sung, and 700 and more mass media issued special write-ups. Working population in different fields of the national economy are effecting a great upsurge in production by changing their great sorrow of having lost the great leader comrade Kim Il-sung into redoubled strength and courage. The workers of all units under the State Light Industry Commission and the Ministry of Local Industry are rapidly increasing the production of mass consumer goods through a campaign to put equipment in full operation. The workers of the Hungnam Fertilizer Complex are doubling their daily average fertilizer production as compared with the beginning of the month through technical innovation. The coal miners of the Gangwon District Coal Mining Complex are overfulfilling their daily coal production plan by 41% through a vigorous campaign for increased production. A meeting of working people was held in Pyongyang on the 26th to commemorate the 41st anniversary of the victory in the Great Fatherland Liberation War. Speakers said that the day of victory following August 15th liberation is the second liberation day on which our people defeated the imperialist allied forces and defended national sovereignty, saying that the brilliant victory could be won in the Fatherland Liberation War because the respected leader comrade Kim Il-sung wisely organized and led apart and the state and the army and the people. The speakers stressed that the brilliant victory in the Fatherland Liberation War was a historic event of great significance in carving out the destiny of our nation and in the struggle for victorious advance of the anti-imperialist independence cause of mankind and the socialist cause. The speakers noted that dear comrade Kim Jong-il, the great leader of our part and our people, scored immortal achievements in the building of the Juche-based revolutionary armed forces and victoriously leads our people's struggle for the completion of the socialist cause, upholding the lofty will of the respected leader comrade Kim Il-sung. On the occasion of the 41st anniversary of the victory of the Great Fatherland Liberation War, meetings of Pyongyang youth and school children with war veterans were held on the 25th and the 26th. According to the radio voice of National Salvation in Seoul, the Central Committee of the South Korean National Democratic Front issued an indictment on the 23rd, denouncing the South Korean authorities for their anti-popular, unethical and immoral acts of suppressing with arms the memorial activities of South Korean people from all walks of life, now in great sorrow over the death of the great leader Comrade Kim Il-sung. The indictment noted that the death of President Kim Il-sung, great leader of our nation and peerless great man of our times, keeps the whole of the earth in sorrow, transcending idea, ideology and frontiers. The indictment said that after the sad news was reported, mourning periods were set and regret was expressed in all countries of six continents, and even the heads of state of those countries without diplomatic relations with us, including the United States and Japan, sent messages of condolence and issued statements of condolence, and the United Nations, too, officially expressed deep regret. The indictment points out, what surprised the conscience of humanity was that only the South Korean Kim Yong-sun group, who were a counterpart of the inter-Korean summit, transgressed morality in challenge to the worldwide condolence, far from expressing regret over the tragedy of the fellow countrymen. No sooner had the North made the important step report on the 9th than Kim Yong-sun called the Minister of National Defense and ordered him to issue a special alert order to the whole army. They convened an emergency measure meeting of the police agency and issued emergency order A to the police throughout South Korea. They also issued emergency alert order and placed all officials on emergency duty. Having put the whole army, police and officials in emergency readiness, the Kim Yong-sun group vigilantly expected something to happen in the North. At home, they tried to grasp the internal tendency of the North and externally worked to establish a multilateral international cooperation system. Traitor Kim Yong-sun and his group committed the barbaric act of barring the people from expressing grief together with fellow countrymen over the loss of the father of the nation, branding it as an act against the system. The indictment further says, on the 9th last, when the North issued the information of the death of respected President Kim Il-sung, the Seoul police agency made a check-up and search, allegedly to intercept the infiltration of wicked forces, arresting over 2,400 people, detaining 14 and charging over 200 without detention. On the 11th, the police agency launched a wholesale roundup in all parts of South Korea under the name of social stability, arresting over 33,000 people and detaining 347. In the whirl of roundup, 347 people were detained on the 12th in Seoul alone, and on the 14th, 12,733 were arrested. The Kim Yong-sun traitorous group indiscriminately suppressed patriotic, democratic figures who had left for the North to express condolences, and other people from all walks of life who had attended mourning services. They launched fascist offensives to stifle the South Korean Federation of General Student Councils by taking advantage of memorial services in campuses. While crying for an international cooperation system to do harm to the North, the same nation, Kim Yong-sun had been driven into an irretrievable dilemma. But he was narrowly saved by the helping hand of summit proposed by President Kim Il-sung with generosity and magnanimity for great national unity. The Kim Yong-sun traitorous group, however, suddenly changed their attitude as soon as they heard the sad news of the death of the president, the benefactor of their life. They flatly refused to express condolences and dispatch a mourner's group and took the road of North-South confrontation, thus returning good with evil. Kim Yong-sun and his ilk are illegitimate guides of unknown nationality and beast-like scoundrels who have neither fundamental human ethics nor ancestral morality nor blood of fellow countrymen. History will pass a severe judgment on Kim Yong-sun and his ilk for their unethical and immoral acts. And that's the end of the news, read by Choi Jung-nam. This is Radio Pyongyang.
Now you'll hear a female chorus of the song and dance ensemble of the Korean People's Army, the light of the party center.
Thank you.
time for the reminiscences of the great leader Preston Kim Il-sung. For the Sanctuary. Today we'll bring you the fifth part of Section 5, The Snowstorm in the Chen Charlie Mountains, from Chapter 9, The First Expedition to North Manchuria. The Japanese imperialists were exploiting the Korean Nation in order to recoup the losses caused by the economic blockade imposed upon them following Japan's withdrawal from the League of Nations in 1933. The plan for the increased production of grain and the policy of increased production of cotton and silk enforced by Governor General Taito in the 1920s accelerated the class differentiation of the Korean rural communities and forced many of peasants to desert their farmland and villages as porkers. The policy of industrializing Korea, the policy of encouraging gold production, and the policy of producing cotton in the south and sheep in the north, being applied by Governor General Uraki, were transforming the poor economy of our country into an appendix to the Japanese war economy. Steel, coal, cotton, and sheep were all shipped to Japan to increase her wealth and to strengthen her armed forces. The Korean language had been reduced to the status of a dialect. Progressive books were subjected to Japanese censorship. There were increasing numbers of military drill grounds and prisons in the homeland. It was said that the notorious bloodstained, sodom-imprisoning soul was being expanded because it was overflowing with our patriots. Japan's monopolists, warlords, and the stooges were in crazed pursuit of the ideal of militarism in their ambition to conquer the world. The Sino-Japanese War would break out any time now. It depended on when the Japanese warlords pulled the trigger. Because of the German and Japanese fascists, black clouds were gathering over the West and the East, threatening a new world war. When the counter-revolution was so rampant, how could we revolutionaries, who were resolved to defeat it, linger in despair, lamenting over our present adversity? Even if the sky fell, we had to do everything we could to stay alive and carry through the revolution. If we did not return alive, who could manage the piles of work in East Manchuria, which was awaiting our return? If we sank to our knees here, the Korean people would become the lifelong slaves of the Japanese imperialists. Suddenly, a poetic thought flashed in upon me. It was just the concept of a poem which became the song known nowadays as the Song of the Anti-Japanese War. Louder is the sound of Japanese combat boots trampling upon our lovely land, humiliating tens of millions of our people, murdering, plundering, and committing arson. My parents, your brothers, and their wives and children are shedding blood at the point of the Japs' bayonet. My house and your farmland are reduced to ashes and desert land by the enemy. Rise and unite the working masses. Do not betray our firm resolve. Fight on. Let's shout hurrahs of triumph after defeating white terrorism under the red flag. I shook William, who was lying near the sleigh, sat him up, and dictated the words of the song to him. Wai Leung and I were the first to sing this song. One after another, my comrades rose and we sang together. At about 10 o'clock in the morning, we found the timber mill in Shipai Rinzi. We entered it hungry, even for maize gruel, and hoping to sweat out our chill. That day, my fever went over 40 degrees centigrade. The only remedy in our situation was to eat maize gruel and drink Chinese liquor mixed with raw sugar. If I sweated it out, I would feel better, but I'd been shivering with cold on the clay for a long time, so my illness was going from bad to worse every moment. Watching me suffer high fever and coma, my comrades felt our expeditionary force had no hope of finding a way out. Nobody felt that we would escape this crisis and return to Wangqing. They had apparently concluded that we had failed, and they left absolutely everything to the company commander, Han Hongguan. Han asked Old Man Kim, an employee at the timber mill, to boil up maize gruel. At that time, we had eaten nothing for a whole 2 days. At first, my comrades took this old man for a Chinese, because he was dressed in Chinese clothes and spoke in Chinese. When he learned that we were Korean guerrillas from Qiantao, the old man said that he was a Korean. He also said that his son was Kim Hae-sun, the commander of the guerrilla unit fighting in Ba Dao Hezi. Kim Hae-sun was one of the participants in the Winter Mingyugo meeting in 1931. After sending his son to the guerrilla army, Old Man Kim raised crops on the mountain in the summer to earn his bread and did odd jobs in the timber mill in winter in order to buy salt, cooking oil, and the like. Shortly after our exchange of greetings with the old man, Han Hongguan received a report from the reconnaissance party that the enemy's punitive troops were approaching the timber mill. At that moment, Wai Leong was boiling water for me on the fireplace in a pan without a lid while drying my wet shoes. He cried to think that it was left now that the commander was not recovering and there was no chance for us to break through the enemy encirclement. When he left Jilin after me, his resolve had been really firm. He said that he would die if I died. Old Man Kim came into the kitchen with firewood in his arms and asked him why he was crying. The commander is ill. The punitive troops have encircled us ring upon ring. Within the hour, they will rush into the mill, but we cannot find a way out. That's why I'm crying. If we are to escape, we must cross the river. The river is deep and not frozen, so we cannot cross it. The other way for us to escape is to cross the bridge, but a company of the punitive troops is keeping watch there. We are surrounded on all sides by the enemy. Having heard Wan Yong's complaint, the old man suggested to him a brilliant idea for breaking through the encirclement. Young man, don't worry too much. While there is life, there is hope. My master is a stooge of Manchukuo. He will come here soon. If he does, you can arrest him. You must force him to lie to the punitive troops so that they will not come to the timber mill. Then you can stay here until evening. The next step can be discussed in the evening. Wan Yong reported Kim's words to Han Hongguan. Han talked to the old man on behalf of our party, and they worked out a plan of escape.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the fifth part of Section 5. The snow storm in the Tian Shaoling Mountains. From Chapter 9, the first expedition to North Manchuria. This is Radio Pyongyang. Now we'll present Songs of the Portable Electronic Ensemble. The first number is a chorus. Long, long live Generalissimo Kim Il-sung. The next number is a male instrumental ensemble. Song of General Mobilization.
Thank you.
We now present an account entitled July the 27th, the day of victory. July the 27th is the day of victory in the Fatherland Liberation War. It recorded a most brilliant page in the history of our country. We have commemorated this day scores of times, but never before have our people celebrated the day so adamantly, picturing to themselves the tender image of the great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung, as we are doing now. Thanks to this day of victory, could the Korean people defend the dignity and honor of their nation and build socialist Korea of today. On June the 25th, 1950, the Allied Imperialist forces triggered off a war of aggression against the young Democratic People's Republic of Korea 2 years after its founding. In the fierce war decisive of the destiny of the country and the people, the great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung, with peerless boldness and iron will, took resolute measures to check the enemy's invasion and launch decisive counter-offensives. He was composed, never astonished at the enemy's attempt to destroy a small country, Korea, at one stroke. He made the historic radio speech, Everything for Victory in War. In the speech, he clarified the character of the Korean people's righteous war and called the whole country and army and entire people to a nationwide war to annihilate the enemy. Our people saw the victory of the war in the great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung, who was making the speech without being in the least confused in face of the numerical odds. His courage gave unshaken faith to our people and the people's army and bred unparalleled mesmerism in battles. The great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung, with outstanding military intelligence, created original strategy and tactics and wisely led our people's army and people to strike uninterrupted blows at the aggressors, who boasted of their numerical and tactical superiority and threw the enemy into a state of downfall. The historic victory in the Fatherland Liberation War was a victory of faith and will of the great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung, Iron Will's brilliant commander, and a great victory of his military thought and strategy. Looking back on the victorious Fatherland Liberation War today, our people feel a greater pride. Today, the revolutionary cause of Tute is wisely led by General Kim Jong-il, supreme commander of our revolutionary armed forces, who is possessed of the courage and confidence of the great leader, Comrade Kim Il-sung. Thanks to the iron will, matchless courage and talents of the great leader of our party and the people, Comrade Kim Jong-il, our people have come through the ordeals of history and have been honored with victories. The great victories we have achieved in acute political and military confrontation with the enemy without gun report are attributable to the supreme commander who wisely leads our people's army and people with his matchless courage and will. It is our great brilliant commander, Comrade Kim Jong-il, who designated the day of war victory as the second liberation day and gave prominence to the heroic veterans in the sacred war of defending the fatherland in the times and history. Comrade Kim Jong-il placed a deep trust in the war veterans so that they could play the pivotal role in further strengthening the revolutionary armed forces of Tute and led the ex-servicemen to distinguish themselves in socialist construction by displaying the same spirit they had shown in defeating the powerful imperialist enemy, so that they could add luster to their meritorious services of yesterday with greater feet today. Looking at the monument to the victory in the Fatherland Liberation War, which is built on the Portland River under his wise leadership, all our people, to say nothing of the veterans, feel more deeply that only in the bosom of the great leader the distinguished services of veterans remain long in history and their honor and happiness increase. On the occasion of July the 27th, our people feel it once again as their faith that as they are led by the great leader, comrade Kim Jong-il, they can enjoy a happy socialist life. Our revolution is victorious. The dignity and the glory of our nation increase, and our future is bright. With the great, brilliant commander, comrade Kim Jong-il, at the head of the party, the state, and the revolutionary armed forces, the Korean people are and will be victorious forever under his outstanding and seasoned leadership. Iron-willed army, giving it a valuable sword. You are General Kim Jong-il. Because you are leading us, we fear no enemy. Because you are leading us, we will win. You've been listening to an account entitled July the 27th, the Day of Victory. This is Radio Pyongyang.
Dear listeners, Radio Pyongyang presents its 50-minute English language service 5 times every day for its listeners in Southeast Asia and India from 4 hours UTC on 15,180, 15,230, and 17,765 kilohertz. From 6 hours UTC on 15,180 and 15,230 kilohertz. From 7 hours UTC on 15,340 and 17,765 kilohertz. From 8 hours UTC on 15,180 and 15,230 kilohertz. And from 13 hours UTC on 9,640, 13,760, and 15,230 kilohertz. Radio Pyongyang presents its 50-minute English language service 3 times every day for its listeners in the Middle East and Africa from 15, 17, and 20 hours UTC on 9,640 and 9,977 kilohertz. Radio Pyongyang presents its 50-minute English language service 4 times every day for its listeners in Europe from 15 and 17 hours UTC
or 9,325 and 13,785 kilohertz.
If you would like to hear more of these historic broadcasts, let us know. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's pcjmedia@gmail.com. And good listening, everyone.